from Hollywood.
It's all gold cigarette time. If you want a treat instead of a treatment, smoke all gold. If you want a treat instead of a treatment, smoke all gold. We're tobacco men, not medicine men. Pleasure is what we pack. Oh, all gold cures just one thing, the world's best tobacco. So if you want a treat instead of a treatment, if you want a treat instead of a treatment, smoke all gold.
The treasure of them all gives the most pleasure of them all. This is Marvin Miller, ladies and gentlemen, speaking for the makers of Old Gold Cigarettes, who are pleased to present the 32nd in a series of new programs with Carmen Dragon and his orchestra, starring Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's lovable Frank Morgan, the genial Don Ameche, and charming Frances Langford.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening.
Oh, Don.
Yes, Frances.
Did you see this clipping from Luella Parsons' column in this morning's paper? It's about Frank Morgan.
Morgan again, huh? Let's see it. Radio, stage, and screen star Frank Morgan received treatment at the Hollywood Hospital last night for a sprained wrist he sustained while trying to pull the cork out of a bottle. Latest reports indicate that Mr. Morgan is doing fine, but the bottle is sinking fast.
Does that mean he won't be here tonight, Don?
He's on his way down right now, Carmen, but I dread to think what he'll make of that sprained wrist.
What do you mean?
Well, you know how he exaggerates. Morgan won't tell the truth about how he sprained his wrist.
Well, listen, Don, if the man's too sick to work, maybe I ought to whip up a couple
Hold it, Carmen. I don't want to hear any more yockers.
Well, you've got nothing to worry about, boy. I have yucked my last yocker.
Relax, fine.
What I want to tell is a clinker.
What's a clinker?
This is. A stupid donkey married an ignorant mule, and they're expecting a silly ass in the spring. Clinker?
Stinker.
Say, Don, what's the matter with Mr. Morgan? He just came into the studio with a bandaged hand, and he's got a nurse with him.
You see, it's starting already. Imagine a nurse for a sprained wrist. What does this nurse look like, Marvin?
Oh, she's a very crisp and efficient-looking young lady, Don. She looks like a girl who's got what it takes.
Well, maybe she's got what it takes, but I'm too weak to take it.
Frank.
Hello, Doctor. I'm sorry I'm late, but I met with a dreadful accident last night. It was the worst catastrophe since the San Francisco earthquake.
What did I tell you, Francis?
I was lucky to escape with just a few major injuries. Mm-hmm. I sustained a compound fracture of the metacarpus extending to the phalanges, and I almost died.
You did?
Yes, I can no longer bend my elbows at the joints.
Well, you're better off dead. Morgan, aren't you going to introduce me to the lady?
Well, of course, Dodger. This is Miss LaRue, my trained nurse.
How do you do, Miss LaRue?
Just call me Ginger, buddy.
Trained nurse, huh?
Yeah. She's a little out of training, I guess. Now, my... Make yourself up and get jumped and pound a small res. Nothing for 35 ride loges. Where's an up?
I've seen it. Looks something like the Taj Mahal.
In a more regal sort of a way. However, I left Palm Springs driving at a moderate rate of speed and arrived at my home in the city very late at night. It was then that I had my first premonition of danger.
Uh-oh.
I was about to let myself into the house when, to my astonishment, I moved for the green across the garage. Well, I couldn't get it somehow. I'll confirm my service thing. Phone was dead.
The wires had been cut.
No, I forgot to pay my phone bill. Still, my premonition persisted. I drew the blinds carefully, made certain all doors and windows were locked, and settled down in my easy chair with a glass of buttermilk and a copy of the Kinsey report. Quickly,
what did you hide the...
I didn't like to be caught with. I opened it and went to smatic pogos.
Yes.
Touching the trigger, I turned air with one of us as I stood before humbly trembling. Suddenly, spat out a question.
Are you alone in the house?
I took his measure before answering.
You took his measure?
Yes, he was 42 around the waist, 31 leg, no cuffs on the back. He followed me again with his gun, and I answered his question. I am alone, sir. What is it you want? He didn't reply.
What did he want?
Well, he signaled to one of them into the house.
Where's your phone?
Brian, please put that cannon away.
Yes.
It's
dead, all right. That was for poor Lefty and Lefty.
Penances came clear. Police for a daring robbery.
Excuse me, Mr. Morgan, but it's time.
Oh, right. Have the bottle. Oh. We'll get in the car now.
Oh!
So I'll drink it right out of the bottle. I can gauge it better.
See that bottle.
What for? It's just an ordinary bottle with my doctor's name on it.
What's your doctor's name?
Old Overholt. I've been taking treatments for him for years. Thank you, nurse. Now, where was I, Dodger?
You were in your house, surrounded by crooks with a dying thug on your hand.
Yes. Torn between civic duty and compassion for the injured criminal, I suddenly recalled the Hippocratic Oath, which allowed me to draw no distinction...
Hippocratic Oath? Only doctors take the Hippocratic Oath.
Exactly. Well, I was in...
Oh, now, wait a minute. What's the matter with you, Morgan? Are you trying to claim you're a doctor?
Are you serious, Dodger?
Yes, I'm serious. Oh. If you're an M.D., let me see your license.
M.D., yes, I have it right inside my coat.
Let's see your medical license.
Dodger, you have the tenacity of an octopus without its compensating beauty. Here, look at my inside breast pocket.
I'm looking.
What?
One more.
Say underneath that.
M.D.
There, now!
Stand for Maryland. You're no doctor and you know it.
Poppycock. The Morgans have been surgeons for generations, beginning with my grandfather, Incision Morgan, down to my uncle Antiseptic and my aunt Chloroform.
Chloroform?
Yeah, sweet old dope. Always knocked out my uncle when she was sniffed. Under my gaffer's tutelage, I took up the study of the scalpel and soon carved a name for myself in surgery.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I used no anesthetic, even in major operations, I soon became known as Painless Morgan.
Painless Morgan?
I never felt a thing. My hands moved with the speed and precision of a striking cobra, and my patients never knew what struck them.
Now, bet.
In fact, I once removed a man's vocal cords while he was on the telephone and never even interrupted the conversation.
Oh, stop it. If you removed his vocal cords, how could he talk on the phone?
He didn't have to talk. His wife was on the other end.
When did all this happen, Frank?
It was during the horse and buggy era, and I was practicing in a small town of Plunger, Idaho.
Oh, know it well.
You know?
I suppose all your operations were successful.
Hmm? I suppose so. I'll never forget one night in the dead of winter. I had just retired when the insistent ringing of the telephone jarred me awake.
It was an emergency.
Yes. The call was from a town 20 miles away. I leaped out of bed and into my clothes, threw a handful of oats to my shivering horse, gathered the reins and galloped madly down the road.
Uh-huh.
I galloped 15 miles before I realized I left the horse and buggy in the barn. Too late to turn back.
Well, what about the instruments?
Well, time was of the essence, and I had returned for the necessary equipment. The patient would surely have died.
Well, what happened to him?
He died. A very unfortunate case. Impossible to save even if I'd been sober. But only 2 weeks later that I diagnosed the case.
And what was it?
The man was suffering from a very rare ailment known as Stunk's disease.
Stunk's disease?
Complicated by hepatic maceration.
Hepatic maceration? What's that?
Chopped liver.
I'll have some pickled herring.
Rye bread?
Just a loaf.
That'll be 85. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Excuse me, Mr. Morgan. I just received a call and I have to return to the hospital.
Well, all right, my dear. I'll send for you later if I feel any better.
Goodbye.
What happened to that injured criminal you were telling me about, huh?
Injured criminal? Oh, yes. I turned to the head of the hoodlums and said, quick, boil some water, get some towels, and clear the kitchen table for an operation.
All right, buddy. But remember, if Lefty dies, you die too.
The patient was writhing in agony, bent over almost double, and it was impossible to remove his clothes.
What was the matter with him?
Well, I realized that his bent-over condition could only be caused by a subacute pressure on the dura mater.
Oh, that's bad.
My hands never faltered as I performed a delicate brain operation, and I sat with him for hours until he returned to consciousness.
And your operation straightened him up?
No.
Well, did he ever straighten up?
Yes.
What made him bend over?
He had his vest buttoned to his pants.
One question I want to ask you. How did you sprain your wrist?
Wrist? Yes. Well, while I was... one of the thoughts...
Never mind. We know all about it. Look at this item in Luella Parsons' column.
Let me have that.
Frank Morgan, sprained cork, injured bottle. Why, this is liable.
Well, why don't you phone her and tell her?
Tell her?
Yes, here's the phone. No, and telephone number printed right at the top of the
page.
Well, I'm going to dial it for you. Here.
Well, then maybe I should consult my lawyer.
Hello, Luella Parsons,
no,
please.
No, sir, don't worry.
Yeah, well, tell her Frank Morgan wants to talk to her.
I think...
That's right.
Dodger, I don't want to get the lady fired.
Hello, Miss Parsons.
No, please.
Just a minute. Here's Mr. Morgan.
You shouldn't... I can't... Here we go. Hello? Luella? Yes. You printed... Oh, you've been listening. Yes, well, I... No. What's that? Lies. Apology. Tomorrow's paper. Yes, ma'am, I think that's fair enough. Goodbye. Well, Dodger, there you are. Tomorrow's column will carry a complete apology for all those lies.
Luella Parsons is apologizing for lying?
No, I am. Well, so long, Father.
And Francis Langford as John and Blanche Dickerson in The Honeymoon is Over. John Dickerson has finally succumbed to his wife's demands for a larger apartment and promised to raise enough money to put down on a house. To this end, he has taken on another job. And 1 o'clock in the morning finds the weary John Dickerson returning home from his new position. Listen.
Oh, my bed.
John, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
How's the new job, dear?
I hate it.
You hate it?
Yes, I hate it. And I'm glad I hate it, because if I didn't hate it, I'd like it, and I hate it. Is the kettle on the stove?
No, I didn't know what time you were coming home. Are you going right to bed?
I'm going to make some hot tea and bathe my feet.
Can't you bathe your feet in plain water?
I am going to bathe them in plain water. I want some hot tea to drink. You go to sleep.
Well, I don't see any reason for you to be so disagreeable, John. I haven't done anything to you.
No, you haven't done anything. All day and all night, you beef about getting a bigger place to live in. It isn't bad enough. I work like a slave on one job. You force me to take another one. I'm so tired, I can't see.
I don't see why we should live in this rat nest when all our friends have such lovely homes. You can't blame me for wanting to better myself.
Well, stop wanting to better me.
It's a wife's duty to see that her husband gets ahead in the world. You can't say I'm not trying, John.
No, Blanche, I can't say you're not trying. You're the most trying woman I ever met in my life.
That's the thanks I get. Don't walk out on me when I'm talking to you, John. Hello.
Mrs. Dickerson, this is Dr. Hersey.
Oh, hello, doctor.
I got a message from my exchange to call you whenever I came in. Is something wrong?
Well, I was worried about those drops you gave me for my eyes. There aren't any instructions on the label.
Drops for your eyes?
Yes. Do I put them in before or after meals?
Mrs. Dickerson, you can put them in before, after, and during meals. Is that all?
No. I wish you'd have a talk with John. I swear I don't know what's come over the man, doctor. He tears around here in a fury and he keeps picking on me.
Well, have him drop into my office tomorrow.
He can't come to your office. He just took another job and he doesn't have the time.
You mean he has two jobs?
Yes, but he doesn't seem to like this new job very much. He's working for the streetcar company. It's really a wonderful position.
As I imagine it is. Well, Mrs.
I can't understand why he resists
it so much. Why don't you stop yapping about my business, Blanche?
Excuse me a minute, doctor. Keep quiet. It's Dr. Hersey, and I don't want him to hear you yelling.
Well, get off the phone and stop blabbing about my private affairs.
Oh, Dr. Hersey, here's John now. He wants to talk to you. John?
I don't want to talk to him.
John, you better take this phone off.
All right. Hello.
Yes, Dickerson?
Yes, what?
I understand you're not feeling too well. You're not in bad shape physically, but your mental attitude could be improved.
It could, huh?
I think so. Dickerson, I'm afraid you're working too hard. If I were you, I'd go out and have a good time with my wife.
Okay, where does your wife live?
What was that?
I said I'll think about it, doctor. Good night. Now, what's the idea, Blanche? Why must you tell everybody everything that goes on in my life?
Well, what's wrong with telling people you have another job?
Just don't do it, that's all. I'm not too proud of slaving 7 years as a dog food salesman without having you tell everybody I work for the streetcar company.
There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Well, don't do it.
Oh, stop yelling. Just take off your conductor's uniform and go to bed.
I've never been so embarrassed in all my life.
Well, what's wrong with being a streetcar conductor?
Nothing's wrong with it. I just don't like your friends getting on at every corner and staring at me.
How come all your friends suddenly decided to ride on the streetcar? And why did they wait for mine?
Are you crazy, John? I told them to ride with you.
What for?
Don't you want to do a good business? Why don't you patronize some rival streetcar conductor who they don't even know?
What?
Fold your pants neatly so you look nice tomorrow night. Wear the nickels, John.
I got 15 cents in my pocket.
15 cents? I sent you over 40 customers myself.
You don't think I keep that money, do you? I have to turn it into the company.
All of it?
Yes, all of it. What are you hinting at, Blanche?
Well, I didn't say anything, did I?
No, but I know what you're thinking, and you better get those ideas out of your head. Never mind what ideas. I'm beginning to understand now that no good brother of yours can drive around in a big Cadillac on a bank teller's salary.
My brother never stole a cent from the bank, and you know it.
All right, I'll apologize to him when he gets out of jail.
John Pickerson!
Forget it. I want to get some sleep. Don't like those hints, that's all.
Well, don't leave your pants on the chair. Hang them up.
Okay, hang them up. Blank.
Where did all those knickers come from?
Well, if you must know, I hit the jackpot on the slot machine. Are you satisfied?
Yes, dear.
What do you mean, yes, dear? What kind of talk is that?
I said yes, dear.
Well, you don't have to say it like that. I swear I won it in a slot machine. Don't you believe me?
Of course I believe
you. That's the last straw. If you're going to accuse me of...
John! Why don't you hush up and go to sleep?
Yes. Go to sleep, he tells me. Stumble around from one job to another, work like a horse. And she thinks I'm snagging nickels.
Oh, hush.
Oh, my whole body aches. Go to sleep, she says. Oh, I'll never sleep another wink. Is on. Stop at this corner. Move to the rear of the car, please.
Yes.
I hear pairs, please. One for me and one for you.
John!
What's the matter, Braxton? I want to sleep.
But don't make so much noise. I'd like to sleep, too.
Sure.
You didn't put the light out in the kitchen.
I did.
I think I see a light under the door.
No light.
Did you take care of the cat?
No.
Why not?
Cat can take care of himself.
What about the goldfish and the canary?
Cat'll take care of them, too.
Don't be funny. Were the animals hungry?
Starving.
What are they eating?
Each other. Oh, they've got plenty to eat. Why don't you let me sleep, Blanche?
All you have to do is give me a civil answer.
Civil answer.
Just tell me what you gave the goldfish to eat.
Eggs.
Eggs?
Eggs. 15 poached eggs, and the cat had the same.
Where'd all those eggs come from?
The canary laid them.
Don't lay eggs, and he's a male.
How do you know?
His name is Dickie, isn't it?
What do you want from me? Are you deliberately trying to keep me awake?
I don't see how you can go to sleep without kissing me goodnight.
I can do it.
Oh, you'll pay dearly for that. You'd better say you're sorry, John.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You are not.
I am, too. I'm the sorriest man that was ever born.
What's happened to you, John?
Nothing.
You were so happy last week. You were like your old self when we went to Al Homer's wedding.
Well.
You danced with me and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful wedding, wasn't it?
Wonderful.
Such a sweet girl he married,
yeah,
too.
Sweet, sure, sweet.
She's from Indiana, and somebody told me she once won a beauty contest. Do you believe that, John?
Believe what?
I don't believe she won a beauty contest. She's too big in the first place.
In the second place, too.
Imagine what a nice boy like Al Homer could see in her. Did you notice how she dominated Al?
Mm-hmm.
John, do you like overpowering women?
I don't know. I never overpowered any. Like, will you, Blanche?
I don't see why you gave her such an expensive wedding present. Did she like it, John?
Who?
Al Homer's bride. Did she like the bathing suit you gave her?
Yes, she loved it. You should have seen her beam when she got into it.
But just one more thing. I have a hunch that Al and his wife are doing the same thing.
Oh, good.
She's so, well, sort of that kind of a fella.
What about it?
Well, do you think the wife should give up her interests to please the husband, or should they sort of compromise and become one person?
What?
After marriage, do you think a man and a woman should become one?
No.
Why not, John?
Because there'll be too many parts left over.
Good night, John.
That puts the lid on the 30-second program of our new series for Old Gold Cigarettes, written and directed by Paulette Rapp. We hope you'll be on hand next Friday night for Frank Morgan, Francis Langford, and Carmen Dragon in the orchestra. This is Don Amici saying good night and good smoking with Old Gold.
Frank Morgan appeared through arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, currently releasing Frank Capra's State of the Union, starring Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn, and Van Johnson. Remember, next Friday at Old Gold Time, it'll be Frank Morgan, Don Amici, and Francis Langford with Carmen Dragon and his orchestra, brought to you by P. Lorillard Company, a famous name in tobaccos for nearly 200 years, makers of Old Gold cigarettes, the treasure of them all. And listen, if you want a treat instead of a treatment, treat yourself to Old Gold. Buy them at your tobacco counters, buy them in the cigarette vending machines.